Shalom, everyone. The E1 settlement area that is east of Jerusalem has been approved for new Jewish settlement. It's breaking the Palestinian hold on between Judea and Samaria. The Arabs are complaining about Netanyahu and an interview that he had describing his belief in the vision of the greater Israel. And an Al Jazeera reporter has been killed in Gaza by IDF, and the world is complaining about it. Lebanese president has called for all armed groups, including Hezbollah, to leave Lebanon. Messianic World Update begins now. Shalom again, everyone. I'm Monty Judah with the Lion of Lamb Ministries, and welcome to another edition of Messianic World Update. Today's date is Friday, August 15th of the year 2025. Here's the news for the week. Smotrich, who's the Interior Ministry, Finance Ministry, has approved a new housing settlement in Israel. It's the E1 area. Now, I'm not expecting all of you to know about what that is, but that's an area that has been kept away from the Jews, away from Palestine. And the reason is it's very controversial. No one's permitted to do anything there for the last 20 years. The reason is because that particular plot of ground splits Samaria and Judea. And of course, the Palestinian state, they would like to have a contiguous area between the north and the south within the West Bank area. But now it connects East Jerusalem to another Jewish community, Ma'al Arayim, and if I pronounce that correctly, and it's now drawing in that land to Israel. This is another very significant step toward annexation and Israel exercising sovereignty over the land of Israel. Very significant step, and without objection, they were able to approve it. Now, Trump and Huckabee have not opposed this announcement. Smotrich, in making comment about them, said that he believes that President Trump and Mike Huckabee, the ambassador there to Israel, that they know that a Palestinian state endangers the very existence of Israel, and they're not in support of a Palestinian state. Of which there are statements that have been made by both of them that seem to back that up. So Smotrich is not talking through his hat when he says that. He's also went on to say that it's an inseparable part of our land, the one that God promised to our father Abraham and gave to us 1,000 years ago. I'd like to remind everybody that the very definition of being a Zionist is that you believe in the promises of God that are given in the scripture to our fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, concerning the promised land, concerning the descendants of Abraham owning that land and having it. So these are very significant steps in terms of that. Also this week, I-24 News, that's one of the news agencies in Israel, did an interview with Netanyahu. One of the reporters, Sharon Gal, asked Netanyahu very specifically about the whole concept. Does he feel a connection, or does he sense a vision to what is called the Greater Israel? And now you gotta understand what we're talking about. When we talk about the Greater Israel definition, if you use a purely biblical definition, we're talking about the Israeli borders as given by the Bible and the historical proportions that include the land of Jordan, Lebanon, Syria, Egypt, Iraq, and Arabia, much bigger than Israel is presently. And that's the definition sometimes for people that are coming from the Bible called the Greater Israel, the promised land that was promised to Abraham and his descendants. However, I think what Netanyahu was really answering was the Greater Israel definition that came out of the 1967 war in which that Israel was able to capture East Jerusalem. And it includes the definition of East Jerusalem, all of the West Bank area of Judea and Samaria, the Gaza Strip, and the Golan Heights up near Syria. That's locally, that's what they refer to as the Greater Israel. And so when he was asked, do you believe that Israel has a vision to do that, that would be the Israel of the future? Netanyahu answered very bluntly, very much so. So it's very clear that there is a movement afoot for Israel to begin annexing the lands that used to be Palestinian territories, presently are. Now, as you can imagine, the Arab companies, or Arab countries, I should say, are very upset about this. They're complaining. I think they're using the biblical definition they're concerned about for it, not necessarily the 67 decision for it. And there probably is the hint of new maps of Israel coming out, in which that if you look at a present map of Israel, well, you've got this kind of a jigsaw puzzle look to it, where there's the West Bank, Palestinian areas, and a mix of where the nation of Israel is. The new maps would be just Israel. There's no Palestinian territories whatsoever. And, oh, by the way, there's a very popular amulet being sold that's being circulated in Israel that shows the shape of Israel without the Palestinian territories in it. And the IDF is now wearing a new patch on their uniforms in their war against Hamas that makes reference to the greater Israel. Again, I think the 67 definition for it. Why is this subject of importance to us? The end time prophecies, to be completed correctly, they require that Israel has to have sovereignty over part of the Temple Mount in East Jerusalem, that they have to have sovereignty over the land of Israel, the mountains of Israel. And by these annexation decisions taking place and the possibility of the Temple Mount coming under Jewish control, we're now enabling the Jews, which, by the way, they're talking about doing this, of setting a cornerstone and building an altar up on that Temple Mount. Now, that is a prerequisite to one of the greatest prophecies for the end times, the very sign prophecy that Yeshua gave. What will be the sign of the end? There will be an altar on that Temple Mount doing the daily sacrifice. It will be shut down from that service, and that's the start of the Great Tribulation. So all of these events are prerequisites getting us to the position where the Jews could potentially be on the Temple Mount, potentially set a cornerstone and build an altar and begin, start doing the daily sacrifice for it. Lots of opposition is going to be against all of this. In fact, the prophecy talks about great opposition to it. In fact, that's the reason why the prophecy happens with it shutting down the altar. The world will object to Israel doing this, and that's the prophecy of the start of the end. So all of these elements that we see going on about possible annexation play into that whole discussion and that prophetic line. You got to ask yourself at this point, how quickly could annexation take place in Israel? And as a result, how quickly would an altar be constructed? Well, if I was to be asked the question right now, could there be annexation before the end of the year, I would definitely not bet against it. I'm not betting for it either, but I'm not definitely not betting against it. It's very possible it could be this year or early into next year. How quickly, once annexation takes place, how quickly would it be that the religious Jews would be up on the Temple Mount to set a cornerstone and build an altar? Well, let me go ahead and tell you on that one. Those religious Jews have said they already have all the materials assembled. And when they were asked the question some time ago, how quickly would it take for them to go up? They said, from the moment we get the land, we'll be up there building that altar within 15 minutes. So it seems that the annexation could be tied directly to getting the altar operating as well. So all of the discussions and all these hints that we're hearing in the news about possible annexation of Judea, Samaria, East Jerusalem, partitioning the Temple Mount, Israel getting a piece of the Temple Mount, plays right in to these key prophecies that we're watching very closely. IDF operations have continued this week, and there's a little bit of a twist as to what Hamas has been doing lately. They've been using deception to cover their movements and relocate their forces and to carry out messages and operations for Hamas. They've been disguising themselves, for example, as aid workers. And in fact, this last week, Israel was able to go in and capture a series of Hamas operatives dressed up as aid workers driving around in what was a World Central Kitchen staff car. And of course, the World Central Kitchen people immediately came out and said, that's not us. We didn't authorize that. We're not a part of that. So that it was clearly a Hamas deceptive operation. Also this week, there was an Al Jazeera reporter that was killed by the IDF. Of course, Al Jazeera was saying, hey, he was an innocent reporter. Pretty famous fellow. He's referred to as the bravest reporter, bravest man in Gaza, running around supposedly reporting the news, running around with other reporters. You know, they're wearing the blue bulletproof vest, a big press sign across the front, the blue helmet, running around in there, and he got killed, along with the other reporters that were with him. Well, it turns out he was the Hamas commander that was running around with a bunch of other Hamas operatives, and they were using Al Jazeera reporter as press as a disguise. He was paid for by Hamas. He wasn't paid for by Al Jazeera. He was just wearing the uniform of the press, but going around carrying out Hamas operations. Israel was successful in taking them out. There also was heavy fighting this last week, and Hamas is reporting that in the firefights that took place that they lost 123 Hamas fighters in gunfights with the IDF soldiers. No report on IDF casualties, but 123 Hamas fighters are dying. I would like to remind everybody that over there, they have a honor and shame kind of culture. Hamas, if they surrender, they're ashamed for the rest of their life. And sometimes they'd rather die than be put to shame by their own culture. Aid is getting into Gaza and several locations. The efforts that have been made by the international community are proving to be successful. However, some of the aid organizations are complaining about Israel. Apparently, before the aid trucks go in, Israel wants to inspect them to make sure that they're not carrying ammunition, weapons, and other things directly for Hamas fighters. And so they've set up some Israeli security checks, and the aid workers are all complaining because Israel wants to check on all of that stuff. That's just the way it goes of aid getting into Gaza. Also this week, the Lebanese president called for all armed groups in Lebanon, that includes Hezbollah and all other Palestinian and Hamas organizations, to leave Lebanon. They don't want them there anymore. Hezbollah, of course, said to the government of Lebanon, it would be a mistake. We're here to defend you from Israel. The Lebanese president is not buying that, despite the fact that Israeli aircraft are hitting Hezbollah targets in Lebanon. And the people in Lebanon, the government of Lebanon, doesn't want to see Lebanon turn into another Gaza. So they're trying to tell all of those that are opposed to Israel, get out of Lebanon, go fight your war against Israel somewhere else, but not here. And so Israel is welcoming that, by the way. That would be one less headache for them to have to deal with, Hezbollah still popping their head up in Lebanon. This last week, up in Canada at the Toronto International Film Festival, there was a documentary movie that was put together by a Canadian filmmaker, and it was an October 7th documentary. It was a documentary about how Hamas came across into Israel October 7th and attacked the innocent people that were in Israel. Now, many of the video clips that was in this documentary actually had been supplied by Hamas. They were the Hamas pictures they took when they came in and attacked Israel. And so you have direct evidence from Hamas showing exactly what they did, and it's video supplied by Hamas. Now, the Toronto Film Festival says, oh, we can't show that because we don't see the evidence that Hamas, who owns that video, has given permission for it to be screened. Now, when Hamas put that stuff out, they put it out to the whole world. They put it on the internet, gave it to everybody. They're not laying claim to it for intellectual property. But the Toronto Film Festival, in an effort to block it from being shown, lays claim to, well, Hamas has to give permission. We have to see written permission from Hamas to use those video clips, which is utterly absurd and ridiculous for them to do that. The obvious reason why they're blocking the film is they don't want Canadians to know actually what really happened October 7th. And this documentary is very graphic and very detailed in explaining what Hamas really did. And of course, you know, the Canadian government is liberal and is also supporting France and the UK, calling for a Palestinian state, and is basically anti-Israel in their latest political posture. Anything they can do to block the supporting of Israel, to including stopping this film from being shown. The Jewish community has decided to, in Toronto, to show that film that wasn't going to be shown at the film festival. They're going to show it publicly in the month of September. It's entitled The Road Between Us, The Ultimate Rescue. The title has to do with the separation between the border of Gaza to where all of those different kibbutzim were located along there, the Jewish communities that were along the edge of the border with Gaza, The Road Between Us, and The Ultimate Rescue, talking about trying to get the hostages back. So that documentary is going to go ahead and be shown there in Toronto. It'll allow whatever Canadians want to see it, to see the truth, to see what happened back on October 7th of a couple of years ago when Hamas attacked the Israelis. On the last note, I want to share with you that the IDF is still occasionally shooting down missiles being fired by the Houthi rebels out of Yemen, flying up and shooting them down over the Red Sea. And they're almost getting to the point where they're not even sounding off the alarms anymore, because it's getting to be habit to shoot these things down. It kind of reminds me, folks, of an Okie here in Oklahoma who discovered he had some leftover fireworks from July 4th. And here we are in August, and he's going out each evening and shooting some of his fireworks off to get rid of them. So it's almost like the Houthis are shooting off the last of their missiles for no apparent reason, having no value whatsoever in the conflict. We want to ask you to continue to pray. Thank you for viewing this program, and we do appreciate your support and not only your viewership. We appreciate your prayers for Lion and Lamb Ministries, your financial support, which enables us to do this program and our other programs that we offer in the teaching. If you watch us on YouTube, remember to hit like and subscribe. That helps us. And for more content with no commercial interruptions, go to subscribe to lionandlamb.tv. That's our subscription service. When you first sign up, it's free. And if you want to get the whole library, it's a small charge for each month for you to be able to do it. That's the easiest and best way, least amount of consternation, to get our programs and broadcasts. Our weekly programs are also available on your favorite podcast platform. We have a number of programs that we offer throughout the week, in the evenings and in the mornings. Check that out for your availability. We also publish a free Yavo magazine each month. It can come in digital form with your email, send it directly to your email box, or we can mail it to you wherever you're at. Our weekly programs are on all the social media platforms. Check us out there. And I want to give you a heads up. On Sunday, August 24th, we have a special program. It's an interview between Eddie Chumney and myself. I interviewed him together. And we're talking about Jacob and Esau and the roots of the conflict that are in the Middle East today. That's 10 a.m. Central Time, August 24th. You don't want to miss that. Check that out. I think you'll find that to be utterly fascinating. Also, we have Tabernacles coming up this fall along with the other fall holidays. Plan now to be a part of it. And we would love to have you come join us in Oklahoma for the full 8-day festival of the Feast of Tabernacles. You can register online. Call the office if you need a hard copy registration form. Shabbat Shalom to all of you.